We had an exciting message last week. Who is I am? Well, I'm following that up this morning with who is Jesus? Before we even get started, I want you to know that there is no way I can thoroughly explain who Jesus is in a single 30-minute sermon. There are literally hundreds of passages of Scripture that specifically address all of the various aspects of who Jesus really is. Now, what I will attempt to do today is to clear up some of the most common misunderstandings that get in the way of our really coming to know Jesus. Jesus wants you to know Him, to really know Him. He really does. And I trust that you want to know Him as well. Amen? 1 John 5 and verse 20 says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Now, Paul, the apostle, he wanted to know Jesus, even to the point of suffering with Him, even to the point of dying for Him. Paul said in Philippians 3:10, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." Now, over the last 2 weeks, we have established through numerous passages of Scripture that far beyond any question, Jesus is indeed God Himself. Jesus is the great I Am. He is God manifest in flesh. Jesus is the Creator of all that is. Jesus is our great High Priest. Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He is the Rock of Ages upon which is built every true church. He is our Redeemer. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And I could stay here till midnight telling you the rest. We are known Baptists as Trinitarians, referred to by many as various cults. We believe in what is known as the Trinity, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They say of us in their ignorance, we worship one God, and you people worship three gods, and there's only one God, and His name is Jehovah. That is spoken in pure ignorance. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Because in their blinded ignorance, they cannot understand what the Bible tells us of who Jesus is. They reject Him entirely. These various cults have had to rewrite the Bible in order to conform to their religious idea of worshiping Jehovah. Thus, they reject the idea that Jesus, the real Jehovah, being God in flesh, is the one and only and true Savior of the world. This morning, you need to understand, truly, there is only one God. The Trinity, as you may understand it, is one God manifest in three persons. The great three-in-one, we refer to Him sometimes. In Genesis, we find that God created us like Him. We have a body, which is the image that you see. We have a spirit, and we have a soul, oftentimes spoken of as our mind. In Genesis 1 and 26, "And God said, let us..." Oh, who's us, by the way? "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." God has an image, and that image is Jesus. Colossians 1 and 15, speaking of Jesus, it says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." You see, God is a spirit, invisible, yet real, yet alive and eternal. He is called the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost. He is God's Spirit. Within the Spirit of God exists the mind of God, the will of God, and as you very well know, the Word of God. Romans 8 and 27 says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. All of this is who our Father in heaven is. The concept of God being manifest in different persons is nothing new. It was in existence long before Jesus led the Spirit of God, who is, you'll see more about this, how this comes together as we go on, in the Old Testament. 31 times, and I'm not going to read all these, I just put them on the board so you can just see them. 31 times, God, who is Yahweh or Jehovah, presents himself in a different role by name in the Old Testament. The different names of God, as he attaches the suffixes to the name Jehovah, are represented by God as he appears in different roles in the lives of his people. 31 times you'll see this happen. Not all of them are translated into English. They're all there in the Hebrew. 31 times as well, God, who is El or Elohim, presents himself by name. Now, I don't know what the significance of those two 31s are, but whatever it is, there's 31 of each. There is one of these names of God that is a name above all names. It is the one that is the pinnacle of everything that God has named of himself, that's wrapped up into one absolute majestic name that is above every name. And that name is Jehovah Shua. It's stated as Jehoshua, which in English is Jesus. At this name, the world will bow. All things in creation will bow to this name. In Philippians chapter 2, and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. How can you be equal with God? Because you're God. I hope you're seeing this. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
The meaning of that name Jehovah Shua is Jehovah God in his role as the Savior of the world. That is the number one job of all jobs that God has set out to do, is to save you.
Amen.
Acts 4 and 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Truly, there is but one God. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is that one God. That's who we're talking about. God is the creator. I think everyone understands that knows that there is a God, knows that God is the creator. It is Jesus who is the creator, not only of us, but of this entire universe and beyond. How far does this creative power reach? John tells us in John 1, verse 13, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Read the rest of it.
The Word was God.
And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So who created everything according to this passage? God. Now let's read verse 14 and find out who God is. And the Word which was what? God. And the Word, which verse 1 says, was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who's that? That's Jesus. God, in the body of a man, having taken on flesh, is called Jesus in his role as Jehovah, the Savior. In Colossians 1:15, it says, speaking of Jesus, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. John said God created everything. And Paul says it's Jesus that created everything. There's only one way that adds up. The same person. And he is before all things. He has always existed. And by him all things consist. The heart beating in your chest is kept beating by Jesus. And he is the head of the body, the church. Guess we know who runs this place. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. You know, one of the primary aspects of my job as your pastor is to make absolutely sure that in everything we do, Jesus receives the preeminence. Amen. It's he that gets the glory, no one else. Jesus is that one and only true God. Jesus is also, now this is going to mess with some of your minds, but Jesus is also is the Holy Spirit. I told you it might mess with you a little bit, but just bear with me, you're going to see it. Since we are made like God, the reverse must be true that God is like us. Can't have one without the other, right? If 2 plus 2 equals 4, then 4 also equals 2 plus 2. Simple. When I was saved, my spirit, which was dead in sins, was born again. The Bible calls it in John 5:24 as being passed from death unto life. My spirit is not a body part or something I keep in my pocket or in my wallet. My spirit is the real me. Your spirit is the real you. Do you understand that? My body is a house in which my spirit resides. That's all it is. It's a house. This old house. You know, that, remember that old song? It's talking about your body, not your old house. My body is a house in which my spirit resides. My house will go away, back to the dust. But my spirit will be somewhere forever, as will yours. The Bible quite accurately refers to your spirit as who you are, not a what that you possess. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 talks about how that our spirit is made eternally righteous. It is perfected when we're saved. Your flesh doesn't profit, but the spirit profits mightily. In 1 John 3:9, whosoever, it doesn't say whatsoever, it says whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That's not talking about your flesh. It could not possibly be. It's talking about the real you, the who, that is your spirit. Just as my spirit is me, the Holy Spirit is Jesus. Because he is Jesus' spirit. The Holy Spirit is not some kind of wind that blows or some kind of a sensational force that takes you over and causes a string of involuntary reactions. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. This is why he is called the Spirit of Christ. Because he is Christ's spirit, just like your spirit is your spirit. In Romans 8 and verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. This means that if you have Jesus, you have the Holy Ghost. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if you don't have Jesus, you can't have the Holy Ghost. It also means that if some nut in a pulpit is telling you to come down front and receive the Holy Ghost, he is preaching to you in blind ignorance and does not have a clue who Jesus or the Holy Spirit really is. And you just need to really remember that. And this is about the time, if you haven't already done it, that you get up and you head out the door, because you are in the wrong place if some nut is telling you to come down front and receive the Holy Ghost. Jesus is also the Father. That's who Jesus is. What about all these scriptures where Jesus is praying to the Father? What about all those times you talk to yourself? Amen. It's not unusual. In John chapter 1, verse 1, we read this already. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who was with God in the beginning? Jesus. And the Word was with God. What Word? Jesus. And the Word was God. There's nothing unclear about this. In 1 John 14, we read it. The Word, which was God, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That can only be talking about Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." How is it He can say that? If you're believing in God, really, you must believe in Jesus, because that's who He is. He said, "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know." Thomas saith unto Him, "Wait a minute, Lord." I'm paraphrasing. I'm not sure I know the way. Thomas saith unto Him, "Lord, we know not whether Thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am." Do you see it? I am the way, the truth. He's the Word and the life. He is the author of life for every one of us, both the one you're living now and the eternity we are looking forward to. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Jesus said, "If you had known Me, you should have known My Father also. And from henceforth you know Him and have seen Him." Whoa, he's got their eyes about that big around right now. Philip saith unto Him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us." Jesus saith unto him, "Philip, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known Me? Philip, he that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then, show us the Father? He that hath seen Me," Jesus said, "hath seen the Father." You thought I was crazy when I said Jesus is the Father, didn't you? No, Jesus is the Father. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in Me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of Myself, but the Father that dwelleth in Me, He doeth the works. Believe Me that I am in the Father and the Father in Me, or else believe Me for the very work's sake." Who is Jesus? He's God. He's the only begotten Son. He is the Father. He is the Holy Spirit. If you have Jesus, you have everything you're ever going to need. You have it all. And if you don't have Jesus, you're without God and without hope in this world. When Jesus was visited by Nicodemus that night that we read about in John chapter 3, Nicodemus visited Jesus and was told immediately that he must be born again. He simply did not understand what he was being told. He was confused. And I remember how confusing preaching and religious talk was when I first began to start to understand it. You probably do too. He was trying to figure out what being born again meant, and does it, you go back to your mother, or and he just couldn't get his head around it. And Jesus told him in John 3, verse 12, He said, "If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" You see, understanding who Jesus is no lightweight undertaking. You're not going to figure this out the first time you open your Bible and read a few passages of Scripture. It's going to take a while before you get your head around how this really is. And I will dare say that we'll be learning more about who Jesus is probably 10,000 years from today. Still learning about who Jesus really is. That's how big he is. That's how grand and how marvelous and how wonderful and that the Lord Jesus Christ really is. You see, Daryl Corse over there, Daryl Corse, the auto mechanic, and Daryl Corse, the Sunday school teacher, and Daryl Corse, the husband and father, they are three very different Daryls. Yet they're all the same person. Now, you don't have any trouble understanding that at all, do you? It's not that much unlike Daryl that we see the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all in one. Each one that is only one plays a different role, serves a different purpose in our life and in the world and in creation and in the universe. And it's just not that unusual. It's just not that hard. It's not that difficult to understand. Last week we learned that when someone wants to know the answer to their biggest problems, what's God say?
I am.
I am. I'm your answer. I am. Jesus, who is God, took on flesh and died for my sins and was buried. Spent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, in the tomb, and rose again the third day. God in flesh said it this way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is the way. He's not a way. He's the only way. And there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved.